You might like to open your Bible, if you would, to the book of Jeremiah and chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. And in our study of Jeremiah, we have moved through the many years on the process. And God has, the people have simply hardened their heart. And we share together in the chapters 20, 21, 22, etc., that God is making it clear now in this particular section that Nebuchadnezzar is going to level the city, which is very, very justified and in order, needed. It is the execution and destruction of the temple and the city are necessary. And therefore, he tells us, we share together, the kings are all evil, the leadership, prophets and the priest were profane, common, they had no sense of God, and yet they used his name all the time to justify what they said. That's how they justified it. God said, God told us. And that's what they were doing. Now, and so here we are looking at that particular part in chapter 23. And Jeremiah, and we share together till we get practical understanding a little bit. Remember, Jeremiah is like think of a surgeon cutting. And the surgeon's going to cut, and he takes the knife, and the patient is there, and the cutting is to take place in order to fix the problem, to cure the patient. And in the process, if the patient cooperates, the surgery will go as it should, and it may be uncomfortable, but it will produce the results with the least discomfort. Now, but if the patient is not going to cooperate, and the patient it is necessary for the operation to take place, then the surgeon's knife is going to find it difficult to be very careful in how you cut and what you cut, because the patient's moving around, and it's making it very uncomfortable for the doctor and for the doctor to do it. And for the patient, the patient is acting worse and worse as the difficulty gets more difficult. Now, Jeremiah, in this case, is the knife. And Jeremiah doesn't want to have to go. If Israel, Jerusalem, Judah would just cooperate, it would go nicely, but they hate it. And the surgeon isn't going to stop. God isn't going to quit. Nope. And so Jeremiah is the knife, and the knife has to keep going and plunging in and doing what it has to do. And Jeremiah, as we share together in chapter 23, verse 9, etc., that gives you a little sense of the heart of Jeremiah. It's my friend, my family, my nation. It's our whole world. And he has to react to that, understandably. Now, and then, but he lines up with a surgeon and lines up with him, and the knife continues. So now, in chapter 23, we share together verse 11 and 12, etc., and God is going to make it, Jeremiah, I'll read the verse 11. For both prophet and priest are profane, polluted, ungodly, bad, evil. And yea, now that's Jeremiah finishing his little section. God begins, yea, in my house I have found their wickedness, saith the Lord. And remember now, the wickedness, evil wickedness, is repeated as you keep going down the thing. So you have the same mood. God, Jeremiah says it, and God says it. Now, sliding down, if you would, and the chapter 23 and verse 11 and 12, etc., and you're going down, and God is just leveling it out about the prophets. Verse 12, I'll read it, actually, and move along. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as a slippery way, slippery sliding ways is the verb, to slide, to slip. In other words, you're trying to walk, you're trying to make progress, and everything you're doing is hindering that progress and making it very difficult to move. And why is it difficult to move? Because you're going into darkness and deeper into death itself and destruction. And everything isn't getting happier. It's getting sadder and more difficult. So it isn't a nice way to go. And everyone's acting up. It's getting the heat, the tension is taking place. Now, therefore, in verse 12, them in a slippery way, slippery ways, in the darkness, they shall be driven on and fall therein, for I will bring evil, there's your word wickedness, evil, upon them, even the year of their visitation, judgment, punishment, saith the Lord. And I have seen folly, foolishness, absurdity, in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. That's the 10 tribes in the north. But, verse 14, I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery, they walk in lies, they strengthen also the hands of the evildoers, wicked ones, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. So it isn't very good. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And the doctor, as it were, if you would look at that, the doctor is looking at the patient. The patient is so uncooperative that there's no point in putting the knife in and cutting. Because you're trying to fix and they move it, you might as well back off and let the patient die. Let him be judged. That's what's going to happen. Now, sliding down, if I can. In verse 15. Wherefore, saith the Lord of hosts, concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall, for from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into the land. It's gone very, very badly into the land. There's no godliness. There's no clean. Remember the Israelite, Leviticus 10, Leviticus 11. I want to teach the people between the holy and the unholy, between the clean and the unclean. Help them know the difference. There's a difference between that which is holy and that which is unholy, clean and unclean. Teach them. If they don't know the difference, they're not going to get along with me at all. And to teach that, well, they didn't learn any of that. They got it all in the opposite direction. Therefore, verse 15, God is looking, and the people are caught up in wormwood and in gall. And wormwood has to do with very, very bitter. It is a remedy that would be used if you had to expel worms or parasites in your body. In your body. And you would use this to kill them. You know, and you have to think about that. I have illustrations of that, but you don't need that. Worms, and their body, parasites, etc. Now, and so therefore, that's what it's used for. And it's a poisonous plant. Gall is a poisonous plant, I should say. And therefore, wormwood and gall are not good things. And they are feeding the people wormwood and gall. In other words, the But the people aren't discerning the difference of what they're getting at all. And therefore you have this movement of wormwood, if you would. Over in the chapter Deuteronomy, just to see it, it's an old judgment upon Israel, people. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And in Deuteronomy 32, picking up 32:32, I think. And think of the Sunday school of morning worship with the vine and the branch. Israel. Chapter 32, Deuteronomy, verse 32. For their vine is the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. They're big time in what they're doing. Verse 33. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asp, very poisonous snake. Wow. That's what they're feeding. The people don't know that. If you want an illustration of that, just think of Daniel chapter 2 and the history from Israel's put aside down the bottom of the pile, and you begin with Babylon, all the way down to Rome, legs of iron and feet of iron and clay and toes, where we are today. History moves. And it's a man, a human, using a man, feet, breast, and all of that, arms. But when God talks about it, he says, that's how people look at it. They see humans managing and maneuvering and manipulating down the corridor of time. That's what happened here in Jeremiah. Moving down the corridor of time. And they see that. But they don't see it like heaven does. Heaven sees it, chapter 7 of Daniel, wild beast, terrible wild beast. And the last one coming up in Revelation, and in the legs of feet of iron and toes of iron and clay, is a horrible, horrible beast, the Antichrist. Wow. Wow. That's from view, heaven's view. God said it's like Sodom and Gomorrah. But boy, they don't think so. They don't think so at all. And you'll see that if I can just move a little quicker for you. Now, in the process, back over to Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah, if I can, in chapter 23. So here we are looking at the thing, and the wormwood and gall, etc. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, we come to chapter 23, verse 16. And in the process, I'll read verse 15 because I don't think we did that. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus, continuing, verse 16, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken, this is to the people now, if they'd listen, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain, they speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Now, that's what they're doing. Now, God's saying they don't have any relationship to me, and all that they're telling you is not true. It's not true at all. Now, so they don't need, the warning is don't listen to them, and don't they give their own visions. They do it with intensity, the verb is intensive, intensity, with eagerness and zest. What they say, God said, and they do all that. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so then you go, in the light of that warning, you go to verse 17. They say, now this is what the prophets are saying, and this is what the people are listening to. They say, still unto them that despise me, that they don't want anything to do with you, God. They don't. They despise him. And they aren't going to honor him. They are condemning him. They scorn him. They condemn him. They're against him. They resist him. They don't want anything to do with God. Verse 17. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said. Now, that's what you want to pick up on, because that's what they're saying. The Lord says, what we're going to tell you, what we're talking about, what we want you to understand. God, this is God's will. This is God's word. This is God's doing. That's what they're riding on. Riding on that to bring in their statements, which is wormwood and gall, poison, terrible, Sodom and Gomorrah. But who knows it? The Lord says it. I mean, isn't it in the Bible? Hang on to that. Now, and therefore here they are doing that, and causing God to be despised. Now, if you want to just pick up that a little bit, just to see it, over, if you would, in Jeremiah chapter 5. And in Jeremiah chapter 5, if I can pick up, you'll see it, in verse 12. They have believed the Lord and said, it is not he, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine. Now, Jeremiah's banging away at what's coming and to warn them and to fix things. If you don't fix what the surgeon wants to do, you're going to die. And they don't want to hear that. Therefore, at the word belie, remember, when we shared that little verb, it means to make something less. Make it less. If it's 100% pure orange juice, make it 50% orange juice. Reduce God down. If God's this high, make him this high. Make everything go down about God and truth. None of it's quite so serious, so important. It isn't that important. It isn't that critical. Hang on. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, so here they are going, and in verse 17, while we did chapter 5, while you're doing that, you might as well look at verse 13. And the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. Now, it isn't going to go good at all in chapter 6. And again, you'll recall, as all of this has taken place, they've had all of this, chapter 6, verse 14. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, saying, lightly, and it doesn't mean any, it isn't really important what Jeremiah says, don't even listen to him, saying, what are they saying to counter what Jeremiah is saying? God says, sword and famine are coming if you don't stop it. And they say, the prophets, peace, peace, when there is no peace. That's what they're saying. Now, so therefore, when you come to chapter 14, and in chapter 14, may I pick up, please, in verse 13. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, you shall not see the sword, neither shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. they're consistent. They're wound up and they're saying it over and over again, year in and year out. And you grow up, graduate from school, retire, and they're still saying it. Still saying it. Now, therefore, chapter 4, verse 13. Now, and therefore, verse 14. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination and a thing of not, a not and the deceit of their heart. There's nothing good in this, but you know the people are caught up in it. That's if you can just get that part of it a little bit in your mind. Over to Jeremiah 23. And in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 17 again. They say, this is what they're saying, God said. They despise God. The Lord has said, so they keep bringing that up. God said. And you'll know from when you read that, hold your finger right here so you help you remember. In chapter 5, and verse 2, and though they say, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. They keep saying, the Lord lives, the Lord said, the Lord's going to do what Jeremiah says. Don't you listen to him, you listen to us. He says war and famine and destruction, and we're telling you peace. That's what we're telling you. Now, having said that, chapter 3, verse 17 again. Having said that little bit, so here's the prophets. The Lord has said, you shall have peace, and they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon us. So A, they're saying peace, when there is no peace. So and the word peace, remember, to make it all's going to be well, and all's going to be good, and everything's going to work out. You may not understand it, but you just keep going, just keep staying with us. Everything's going to come out good, peaceful, wonderful. And in the process, they're walking after the, and in the thinking, they're walking, everyone that walketh, the people that are listening, the people that are walking, managing, the word walk means to go forward, to move. It means to run your life. What's your life? Well, our life is here. Just think of a circle, if you would. And we can live in a circle, and we can go to the store and drugstore and the hospital and everything and have everything in our little life. But you know, that circle that you are familiar with is surrounded by bigger circles. And you got the whole state of Connecticut surrounding you. So what we do in our little bits, here's the state of Connecticut. And then here's Washington, D.C. and our country. And then here's Russia and the globe. They're all circling. But we're in our little world, people are, and that's how we live. And we like that. Because the minute you get out into the circles, you're getting into that which is very complex and confusing and corrupt. Now, what do? Retreat back to your circle. Oh, you can read stuff, but we live in a circle, and we can do that. We could do that in a communist country. We could do that in a socialist country. We'll end up maybe doing it in our own country. That's how you live. You'd be able to go to the grocery store and buy some bread and whatever, and you do it. That's fine. We just don't want to get out because it's too complicated to get in, to understand that. That's a part of our problem because we don't understand we're being surrounded by that which is encroaching on us. And whether you like it or not, what they decide in the State House up in Hartford is going to come right down to your gas station and your toll booth. True? Right down there. And what they do in Washington is going to come right down to the state, right into your kitchen, whatever they do. And what's happening in China and all of that is affecting all of that. That's like the Great Depression, you know. In the Great Depression, they had the depression, the fall of the 29, the crashed stock market, etc., in our country. And what did that do? Well, it encouraged Hitler, Benito Mussolini, and Stalin. And the three of them were now encouraged The world was, our country shaking. And the three of them, that's how Hitler, 1933, boom, up he comes into power. The whole world was set for him. But say, well, we didn't, but it was there. Everything is all interrelated. But we'd like our little circle. That's what I want you to have, that little picture, if you would. And here we are in the little circle. Here's Israel, Jerusalem, and Judah in their little circle. And they have that. And they have false hopes. They have they're trusting in the prophets and priests. And after all, if all the prophets, except Jeremiah, and all the priests, and all the kings, and all the leadership say the same thing, how could Jeremiah possibly be right? He couldn't be right. And then, to boot, you want to add that, take that, because you need that, over to Jeremiah chapter 5. And in Jeremiah chapter 5, may I pick up, please, in thought. And you'll notice a key. It's simple, easy. Why are the people, I'm going to go in imagination in a minute. Why are the people doing this? Sodom and Gomorrah, wormwood and gall, poison, asp. Why would you do this? I ask myself. Now, why would people do that? God, you tell us why. Why they did it. Chapter 5, you know it. Picking up, please, verse 30. 5 and 30. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. What on earth, God said, how could such a thing happen in the light of God's place, God's temple, God's city? How could it happen? Verse 31. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule with a they coordinate between the prophets and them by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? When people love it. What do you do when people love it and they don't want to change? They love it. That answers that. How could you be so duped? I love it. I love it. Now, having got that little bit, you know, in the light of that, back over to 23 and verse 17. Now here we are looking, and God, you're going to go, and you're saying, every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon him. Now, so if you just, you can have your life, run your life, I'll say it simply, run your life, here's your circle, here's your little world, our little worlds that people live in, and here we are, live your life, do what you do, say what you say, eat what you eat, whatever you want, do it. Enjoy life as best you can. The future is ours, and we're telling you it's peace. So be able to relax. Don't worry about that. Just think, I think it was in California, paradise, but it's something like that, a city. They could burn down, didn't it? Leveled. They're still looking for people missing the city. Now, if you could just imagine your imagination, here's the fire, and the fire's there, and you look out your window, and there's a fire out there. Oh, there's a hill, there's the smoke. There it is. And you tell your wife, you ought to get out of bed and see this. And she says, no, I'm tired. And we go to bed. In the morning, it isn't there. It's down in the valley. And pretty soon, there it is. But we're looking. How could it be there? And you know what? It had to happen so fast. How do you burn a town down without people running away? Do you ever ask yourself that? How could you have a fire that fast and burn all the houses and kill all those people? Couldn't they run out of the house? You know, didn't they have a fire extinguisher? What can you say? They died. they died. It wouldn't happen. That's because we live in it. Here's Israel, Jerusalem, living in this world, and that's the people that we like it. We love it. We can't handle life out there. How do we handle governments and powers and wars and corruption and mafias and everything else? How do we handle them? They're way over our head, so we have a little circle. That's what's happening here in Jerusalem and Judah. And the people are giving them a false hope, a false comfort, and therefore after the imagination of their own heart. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, everyone walketh, behaves themselves after the imagination of their own heart. And the word imagination comes from the verb to be firm, to be hostile, to twist something, twist the rope, tie a knot in a rope, tie a knot in a chain, tie it tight, knots, tie, twist them together, twist a knot, make something firm, hard, solid. And there's a word. Imagination, all the time. What is imagination? It's that word, firm, twisted. And we have an English word, stubborn, stubbornness. We've so knotted up in here, our thinking, that we can't unknot it. And everything that you say something, I hear something, and you know what? I pull it tighter. And I hear something, and I'm not going to let you loosen it, so I'm going to pull it tighter. And then I'm going to pull it tighter. And instead of getting looser, like Pharaoh's heart got what? Harder. It doesn't get looser at all. It gets harder. That's what happens. We love it so. And we get hard now. So having said that, here's your imagination. And used over and over again. Would you look with me, please, in Jeremiah chapter 3. And in Jeremiah chapter 3, picking up, if I may, get there, chapter 3, and in verse 17. 3 and 17. At that time, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it to the name of the Lord to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. That's what they were doing. The day's coming, they're not going to do that anymore. But they're going to do it all the way to Nebuchadnezzar, and even today, that's where they are. That's why Israel's where it is. So, they're going to walk after the imagination of their evil heart. Chapter 7. Chapter 7 and verse 24. 7 and 24. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked... And with how they wanted to live, walked in the counsels and in the imagination, there's your little word, of their evil heart. And they went backward and not forward. They never went forward, always going backwards. But we're advancing. Look at us. No, you aren't. You're going backwards. You aren't getting closer to God. You're getting further and further away from God. Now, having said that little bit, over, because I have to quit time-wise, over, if you would, to Psalm 81. And in Psalm 81, picking up, if I may, you're familiar with the psalm, but... Psalm 81, and picking up, you'll pick up the flavor of it in verse 8. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And we share that 1,000 times. Open your mouth wide like a little bird, and God is the Father and takes care of his own children. He takes care of them, and the little birds don't have to worry about worms or protein or anything. They just open their mouth, and God takes care of them. That's what you have in Matthew chapter 6. The world's busy trying to survive and succeed, and you have a heavenly Father that they don't know. And he knows your need before you ever start. Now, hang on to that. I'm trying to get you to see it. Now, if I can, in the light of verse 10, verse 11, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. They didn't want anything to do with God. Therefore, verse 12, so I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Now, do you see the word lust? That is the word stubbornness or imagination. Imagination, same word. Imagination. It's imagination. It's a lust. Lust, stubbornness, stubbornness. Huh. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, their stubbornness, their imagination. And they walked in their own counsel. That sounds just like Jeremiah 23:17. That's what they did. They didn't want it. They didn't want to have any surgery. They didn't want any help. And Jeremiah is having to keep banging away, and they don't like it at all. And that's why they're trying to kill him and imprison him and all of those different things. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, God gave them up to their own counsel. Now, in the light of that counsel, if you would. Another way to do that, we are right here. Psalm 85. Remember now, they offered peace. They offered peace. Peace. You'll have peace. The future. We don't have a future. But we're looking out because we can't handle life, what's happening in our world. So we keep it in. But they must have a view of the future, and therefore we're encouraged. We're encouraged. Whatever they see out there must be better than what we're looking at. So we're going to what? Which is more pleasant to think about? What you're looking at, the fire coming? Or to think about the fact that the fire can never get you because the fireman sent you a letter and said, be of good cheer, pay your taxes, and you'll be protected. And they're happy, you see. Well, peace. Ah, God, that's what I want you to get. Now, you aren't going to solve that. And you understand peace. You got the world picture, and we aren't going to fix the state. We aren't going to fix the government. We aren't going to fix the countries. We aren't going to fix the situation. And you aren't going to change for sure the God of this world, the devil himself, who wants all of this. You aren't going to change him. Or a host of demons, angels, bad guys, evil, that you aren't going to change them either. So be of good cheer. You aren't going to change anything. So what? We're going to listen then. Would someone tell me something good? Because I don't want to think about these things. So then someone says, peace. Everything's going to work out. But down in your gut, you know it isn't working out. But you hope it is. And that's what they were doing. Now, God, is that what we're to do? Now, you understand that part. Now, you're all in physical bodies, various stages and ages and all of that, and you realize your body, no matter how you cut the cookie, your body is deteriorating. It's wearing out, and the parts aren't going to last forever. True? Now, you young people know you're never going to get old. I realize that. I realize you're never going to get old. And some of the old people thought they'd never get old. But lo and behold, you have got old. And you can't stop it. You aren't looking to have anything here. You're in a body that cannot inherit the kingdom of God. A body in a world that is condemned. Where is our, what are we looking? They're looking at the prophets and people about things here and there. And what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to look to God. Therefore, Psalm 85, I should say. Psalm 85, picking up, please. Verse 8. I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not return again to folly. Don't return. Don't go back into foolish, stupid thinking. Well, someone said this, and someone said, well, maybe this means that, and maybe this means that. Why don't you be like the Berean scriptures, Bereans? And they were so eager to get it right. They searched the scriptures, what? Daily. Just get it right. That's what we're doing. We turn pages, verse after verse. We're trying to get it right. So what? Search the scriptures so we know what it says. How can you be encouraged if you don't know what it says? If you don't know what it means, tell me. I don't know how you do it. You certainly have a lot of people you know that don't know how to do it. And they don't have it. So therefore, they're looking for peace. They're looking for something to be happy and secure and work out. And maybe our thing isn't so bad after all. And we have all of that. Now, so therefore in closing, I'm trying to help you. It's pieces there. They're easy. Don't get caught up in whatever. This one says that, and that one says, why don't you just go by what it says? That's what you do. Listen to him. God says it, and he keeps saying it. But they were tacking on. Anyway, over if you would, Isaiah, you know it. Isaiah 26, different word though. Isaiah chapter 26. In Isaiah and chapter 26, may I go. Picking up, please. And you know it. Verse 1, context. In the millennium. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. That means we don't have any cement or iron or anything else. God, you surround us. You are the wall. And I've shared that a thousand times with you. You know it. You are surrounded. We are in the middle of an ocean of air. You all agree? Most of you? You're living in the bottom of the ocean of air. Right here. It's all around you. And in you, isn't it? So is God in the believing heart. More real than the air. Wow. But we don't know it. Because you have to walk by what? You walk by faith and not by sight. Not by feeling. And then you start claiming. That's all God wants. Are you going to understand? If I think God, where are you? I'm not going to get anywhere. No. I got to give God credit. I'm not, you and I aren't quite that stupid. Yeah, no, I give you. Anyway, God, I know where you are. I know what you said. You never move. You're omnipotent, all-knowing. Wow. Now, so Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou will keep guard him in perfect peace. Peace, peace, the same word, shalom. Whose mind, that's a different word. This isn't imagination. This is the thought process. The process whereby you formulate thought, different than imagination. Not the word imagination. The mind, you're thinking. That's right. Whose mind is stayed, resting down, hanging on to, holding on, abiding in thee. So God, what are we going to do? Are we going to? We don't have to look at the prophets. We don't have to look at the priests. We don't have to look at the kings. We want to learn from Jerusalem. What do we want to do? I don't want to be doing this, God. That I got the little message from it, my little head, and so here it is, God. I don't want. I want to understand. They were totally in error, and missed it, and they forgot you. And you, you never told us to give you a little trust and the world a little trust. Trust yourself and trust God. No, don't ever trust yourself. You trust God 1,000%. You never trust yourself. Foolish is the person who trusts himself. You know, God says it all over Isaiah and that. Don't trust anyone who breathes. How's that? Don't trust anyone who breathes. That's pretty simple. That eliminates most of us, understand? We breathers. Wow, don't trust them. They're humans. What do you want? So God, we're getting it. We need to understand. We have a unique relationship to you, and we ought to get it clear. I don't want to get caught up in that. And I don't have to, look, I can look out at the fire and the world and the problems, and I'm not going to solve them. But God, you're letting all of that happen to bring about your imminent return. And in order to do it, there's going to have to be great tribulation in order to happen. So God, I'm not trying. You didn't even ask anyone to fix it. You never gave anyone the assignment to go out and fix it. What nation? When did he give you orders to go fix Russia? It's just there. It's all moving in flux, moving. And it's awesome. And therefore, what are we going to do? We're going to look to God and rest in God. And we don't have to worry. And you know it. I will never leave thee. Know what? I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And by the way, in that section, I'm your helper. By the way, I never change. What I said back here is just as true here, is just as true there. Do you understand? I never change, he said. Wow. Now, God, that's what you want. That's right. I want you to trust me. Your future, you are living in the future. That's me in you. Said another way. It's God in Christ in you is the future right now. And that is as true as can be. You may not understand it, but it is true as can be and is real. He is your future, and you already have it. Do you remember what it says? Believe in the Lord. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but what? Have what? What kind of life? When does that begin? The moment you receive him as your Savior, you started eternity in your heart already.